What's going on, everybody? It's be your boy
DJ Anonymous.
DJ Anonymous with another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast. And I got a very, very special guest on the show today. I got my boy Honest Ab Lincoln. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, man. Just taking it easy, taking it one day at a time. And yourself?
About the same, man. You know, working the 9 to 5 and then by night doing the indie grind.
That's what's up, man. That's what it's all about, man. It's the grind, man. So before we get into the podcast and the questions, introduce yourself to the fans.
So what's up, everybody? I'm Honest Abe Lincoln. You can look me up on everything by Honest Abe Lincoln. That's LINKIN. Again, I'm just an artist out of Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, 239.
Okay,
I'm doing my thing.
No, hello?
So, you know, I'm just out here, and I've been making music since I was 12 years old. I'm 29 at this point. So just pushing and trying to find, you know, every avenue. I've really been digging into just every social media platform and trying to just boost up at this point.
Okay, that's what's up, man. So you from Fort Myers. You born and raised in Florida?
No, so I was born in Woburn, Massachusetts.
Okay.
I moved here, though, when I was 11. So I did all, like, since beginning of middle school until now, I've been in Fort Myers.
So was it like a culture shock when you moved down here to Florida?
Yeah, I just did elementary school up north. My parents, I was born there. My grandparents moved down to Fort Myers, and we ended up following a while after they moved because my dad visited a few times and was like, you know what, this is way better. It's no snow.
That's what a lot of people from up north say. My wife, she's from New York. So when they Dominican, so when they moved from Dominican Republic, they went to New York, and then I guess they got tired of living in the snow and the cold, so they moved down here. So I already know. Like I hear it all the time from everybody, especially from up north. So. So what made you want to pick up a pen? What made you want to get into music?
So originally, I didn't know kind of what I was doing. I started middle school here in Florida. I had no friends because I knew everybody up north.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was my dad's like, just pick up something. We tried the baseball and all that, and I just kind of got shy because I didn't know anybody. So he's like, we'll join band.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started playing trumpet in middle school, and it went well. I got moved up. I went to the concert bands and everything. And then, I just decided like a year into playing trumpet, I told my band director, I was like, I'm going to buy a guitar. Like I'm going to ask for a guitar for Christmas. And he was like, don't get a guitar. And I was like, what do you mean? He said, well, you'll stop playing trumpet if you get a guitar. And I was like, no. And, sure enough, I started playing guitar and I joined a band. I quit playing trumpet, but then I picked up like every year for Christmas or my birthday, cause my birthday is June. So I got that sweet 6 months apart spot from Christmas. So I always asked for like, okay, I want a keyboard for my birthday. And then I was like, I want a microphone for my Christmas present. And then I got into piano and drums. And so at this point I play piano, drums, I sing, I rap, I produce all my own music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just where it picked up. Was like, I just everything musically, if I picked it up, I just genuinely could do it. Like I didn't need to read music or anything. I just have a rhythm naturally. So it just was something that I really just clung to.
So when it came to recording, like, cause I can tell like you rap and you kind of, you remind me of Logic a little bit. I don't know if anybody told you.
Thank you. Logic actually, there's a funny story behind that because he's one of my biggest inspirations. And I was just putting out my music and I decided to do a Young Sinatra 3 remix.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just on a mixtape where I tried to get everybody in Fort Myers I could on the mixtape. And I got like 11, 12 features on the project. So I was all proud. And that single, I just love Logic so much. So I put my whole, you know, my whole bar cipher. I tried to make it, you know, the best bars and the best flows. And I did a video downtown Fort Myers with like best videographer I could find. And then I paid for like a small little promotion on organic views. Like I just wanted to put it in front of some people with ads. And overnight I got like 10,000 views. And I was like, oh, shit. And I was just kind of chilling. It was like a week into it. I was hanging with one of my homies in the studio at my parents' garage at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I checked my Twitter. And, like, I had the giant monitor. So everyone's sitting there with me. And I pulled up my Twitter. And I was like, wait a minute. I got a mention. And I saw it was Bobby Tarantino with, like, the verified check mark. He mm-hmm. shared that video and said, nice flow. Keep it up. And I was like, holy wow.
Now, I know that's legendary because Logic actually one of my favorite rappers.
Oh man, I'll tell you what. When he was going to retire, mm-hmm. I was butt hurt.
But rap, I mean, artists in general, I don't think they really retire. I mean, they do, but like it's always going to be the, you know. I feel like in Logic, you know, he's still young. So it's just like, you know, you never know. But
yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Like how, so did y'all do any interactions after that or no?
So no, that was the crazy thing is I saw that and that to me was like a nod of like, hey, I kind of have you on my radar and all I did was keep plugging away. And of course, COVID happened. So that's when I just decided to stop doing shows around here. Cause it was already hard to get a niche in this city cause it's a retirement state and it's a deep underground city
mm-hmm.
for hip hop, but it's not like openly mainstream welcome, you know, like it's not how Miami or, you know, New York or any of those places are where it's just like, yeah, everybody makes it. They come out here, they're good, and they kind of blow if they're seen out there. It's not one of those cities. So it's hard. It's hard out here. So
yeah.
I sat back with the two kids, especially when I had my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of stepped back a bit and I stopped dropping. And it mainly was that I didn't want to keep pushing to these shows where they're like, well, you could get the show, but you pay 20 or 50 or 100 bucks and then you can get on the show. And like they should be, you know, checking who's bigger and in the indie scene and paying these people, you know, because we're bringing the fans at the end of the day. So it was wild to me. So I just kind of stepped off.
No, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because Fort Myers, they ain't, I mean, the only person that you really know for Fort Myers was Plies. And,
right.
You know, even, you know, I don't know if you, well, of course, you know, you had to follow the you know, the whole movement back in, I think it was 06. When they had like Rick Ross and Pitbull and all of them was, you know, getting, you know, in the mainstream. Then you had Plies, then you had T-Pain. I think Two Pistols, ain't he from out there somewhere? From Southwest Florida?
Either here or from Broward County, I think.
Yeah, like he was from somewhere. But it's, you know, you living in Florida is like, you know, it's still, you know, whatever what people want to say about Florida not being the South or is the South. To me, Florida is the South because you had them in between small towns and small cities like a Fort Myers where, you know, it's a lot of talent. Like, because me, myself, I knew a lot of artists from that area, from the Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, you know, area. And it's very undergroundish, you know. It's a lot of potential out there, but the market is not, you know, as heavy as it is in Miami or even in Orlando, you know, or Jacksonville. Like, it's not. The resources is not the same, you know. So it's still certain stuff that, you know, we all have to work on, you know, because It's crazy because I tell people all the time, like, it's so much talent down here in Florida, you know, so.
Yeah, it all comes down to, like, if you look at the Atlanta music scene,
mm-hmm.
you know, it comes down to something like that, that the reason that Atlanta does so well and that they popped off the way that they did was, if you look at the history, it's everyone came together. You know, mm-hmm. you had one song, six artists are on a song, and they all did the shows together. And they wanted to blow up because they knew that there was no way that one guy could shove every other artist out of the way when there's thousands of them.
Right.
So they all just kind of blew up the scene and they all promoted and they all pushed and they all did it. But in Fort Myers, it's like a cutthroat game where it's like mm-hmm. everyone's got a chip on their shoulder. Everyone's the best artist who's about to get signed. And it's like none of them realize that like half their flows and half their stuff that they don't even put in the effort. They don't put in a professional mix. They mm-hmm. don't put out a professional skill, and then they expect that they're the greatest thing walking, and they won't do a song with you, they won't promote your stuff, they won't like it. It's insane. So that's the biggest flaw of the city, is if everybody could just start working together better and be, you know, oh, look, we could make it if we all push. We could all make thousands. We could all make hundreds of thousands mm-hmm. if we just stuck together. And that's what, no one can push their ego aside. So I guess that's what I've been doing, is I let my ego go, and I decided, you know, I don't need the industry of my city to make it in this world, because this is a big world. So the mm-hmm. internet has been a great thing. I've just been putting little bits of money into certain spots in marketing, and just trying to get my following up on, you know, not just Instagram or not just Facebook. I want to get thousands on each platform, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, they'll all drive to my streams.
Yeah, cause yeah, you're right, because that's, I just had a, what's my girl name? I forgot her name. I'm sorry. I've been interviewing so many people. But I had a PR manager. She do marketing as well. She said that's one of the things. I think that's just a Florida thing in general, because even down here in Miami, you know, we technically don't have that many resources either. It's just that we get so lucky, because, you know, Miami is a city where a lot of people come down. So a lot of executives and them come down during the summer or whatever. And just South Florida in general. And I tell people all the time, like, we still don't have, even though we have, like, if you go to South Beach, they have record labels, but they Latin. But even the Latin part of the major labels, it's not what people think. Like, Latin artists, even from down here, they have to go to LA, they have to go to New York, they have to go to a bigger markets, because they have all the resources. And I think that's one of the main weaknesses, not just in Fort Myers, but just everywhere in the whole state. But you're right also that we do have to start working together more. I don't know, it's been this is my opinion. I think, because I know you moved here, you know, when you was 11, but you're a Florida boy. You've been here all pretty much your whole life. And so you get it. Be very competitive. But the problem is that Atlanta, they very competitive too, but they help each other. Down here, we very competitive, but it's like, it's not that we don't help each other. We have too many circles. Like, this person with this crew, that person with that crew, that person, because that person live over here, that person live over there. Nah, like, we have to change that. We got to get to a point where, because I just talked about this to a DJ a few episodes ago. If you pay attention to, like, Kodak and Smoke Perp, who was XX Tessian, like that whole, you know, younger group that came out, the reason why they were so hot, because they stuck together, you know, and they also, you know, they took advantage of social media, but they helped each other out, you know. In our generation, because me and you, we the same age, you know, I'm 30, I just turned 30 in January, so it's like our generation and the generation before, you know, we didn't want people to really help us like that, like from the outside, you know. And that's something that, you know, we need to change. Like, we need to, if for example, like, you know, if I'm an artist, I'm from Broward and you from Jacksonville, hey, we both from Florida, we need to help each other out, because we already on our own island, you know, so we just need to work together more.
Exactly that. And that's what I've always kind of broke into the hip hop scene out here by just doing open mics and just whatever free shows I could get on, stuff like that. And it started that way. You know, I knew that I had to do a show or two and prove that I was somebody that was worth talking to. And then once I did that, you know, I got the connections and meeting the artists that I just would go up to them after they performed and be like, yo, like, you got something going on here. And like, if you're trying to get a song done or trying to do something, actually, you know, like I have a studio at my house. We don't have to pay someone and we can put a song out. And then it's two people from the city more, you know, two heads are better than one at the end of the day. And it always worked. Like, I think the mixtape I did, I dropped one on election day when it was Hillary versus Trump, the first time that Trump, like when Trump won. And I dropped a mixtape called Election Day by Honest Abe Lincoln. So like, I have a president name and I'm dropping this Election Day mixtape, and it caught like, I think like 80 or 100,000 views. And that was on DatPick. And that was just because I had all those 239 artists, you know, from every nook and cranny of the city, to actually be on it. And so when they're on it, like I said, with the ego of everybody in the city and the competitiveness, it was like each one wanted their song to be heard. So they were sharing it. As soon as I dropped it, they were sharing it and they told all their friends. So like, for my project got pushed like that. And it was very organic and very cool. So like that was proof to me. I was like, if this happened on a regular basis on every project, every artist in their city, when they're independent, dropped, you know, two or three songs with local people that are, you know, semi popping or are popping, it would just, every project would blow. And that's what they don't get.
So are you going to continue to do that as far as make another project?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now I just dropped my album Among the Cosmos. I was working on that project for like a year in silence. I didn't want anybody to really know that I had a plan of an album. I didn't want anybody on it because I've let a bunch of people in the past on my album since the time it would turn into like a whole thing where it's like a favor for a favor, or you owe me one. And I wanted to make a clean one that could take my own time and not be pressured about it. I think that this was my best project I've done yet. And I really just wanted to push in a different direction with this. And then I still want to do, you know, I drop an album once a year and then stick to that mixtape vibe where like, I'm going to drop either a remix that people love that song, and let's have some 239 artists jump on it and just, you know, trash it. Like, let's just make it our song. And I definitely want to keep doing that. And I have a few people in mind. Shout out T-Mike. T-Mike's been doing a lot of work in the city, and me and him have a record coming here soon. So definitely going to keep pushing with this city, because the city's, the majority's shown love because I've been genuine and I've never been, you know, a fake artist. I don't rap about the gang life because I wasn't in it. I definitely talked about the past when I, you know, when I did sell drugs and did stupid stuff, but at the end of the day, I push, you know, the Logic vibe, and that might be what carries out to, you know, you hear in Logic is I spread positivity. I want to have, you know, like a self-motivating message behind my music, because at the end of the day, you got to get up and wink at yourself in the mirror, or else you're not living, you know?
Yeah, because you said you used to sell drugs, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I got that from the Munchies EP. Like,
yeah.
I don't smoke weed. I don't do drugs. But like, I tell people all the time, like, for example, like Wiz Khalifa, that was how I got my high, just from listening to him, listening to Currency, listening to Snoop Dogg, Too Short, E-40, like artists that's in that realm, you know. And when I heard the EP, I'm like, yeah, this is different. Because with me, I like to, when I listen to artists, or I first meet an artist, I like to go back. You know, I like to go back and listen to, you know, their music. I feel like it's only right. Plus, it helps you with your numbers. Because me, at the end of the day, we're going to talk about it probably in a few minutes, about the streaming era and how it kind of helped and hurt artists in a way. So for me, like, trying to give back, you know, I want to give plays for the artists, you know, genuinely check out their music, but really also, you know, give y'all the plays that y'all deserve, because y'all putting in this work. And people don't realize that, you know, for someone like you and other artists that take this craft really seriously, like, it's hours, you know, it's hours in making a project or even one song. Like, people don't understand that. Me, you know, as a DJ, when I used to DJ heavily, you know, I used to get invited to studio sessions and stuff, and, you know, just seeing, like, the process of making one song, couple songs, you know, I couldn't imagine, you know, a whole album. So I always got to give respect to the artist, you know, especially if it's good music, because your music is really good and it's very different. You know, even the Tom Brady song, I don't like Tom Brady, but the song was fire. So,
but, yeah, that's homage city that I was from. So,
and you got the best of both of us, because you moved from Massachusetts from down here, and he followed you. So,
because Brady knew that.
So, but real quick, you grew up in, did you watch sports growing up?
Yeah, so like I wasn't heavy into sports, but what I was into was I watched the Red Sox play, okay. I watched the Bruins play, and I watched the Patriots play, just because it was my dad's thing. So like we'd go to the games and we'd watch them every time they were on TV. I just wanted to hang out with my dad, so I just would watch them. And whenever we do go, of course, we watch a little longer through the season. Okay. So once the Patriots got Brady, that's when we started getting to watch more football.
Yeah, because Brady, I'm a Dolphin fan, of course, and man.
So you'll love this though. So every year, my dad is he's the manager at Dolphin Transportation in Naples, Florida.
Oh, wow.
And they're a big company. So every year they did work where they brought a bunch of their buses and they sold tickets to bring you to the Dolphins Patriots game every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so every year for free, you know, he'd get to just go, and then he'd bring me, and it'd be me, him, and his boss. We'd all go to the game every year. Every single year that I've ever gone to a game in Miami where the Patriots played in Miami, we lost every single time.
Because the heat, it's the heat. It'd be hot. And then vice versa, when we play up there, it'd be so damn cold.
Right. It was just too funny. I was like, I can't come to a game where they win. Like, they won't win.
Yeah, man. But I like asking people, you know, because it is sports biz music. And, you know, especially you coming from Massachusetts, I had to ask you because, you know, Massachusetts, you know, got a rich, you know, sports, you know, sports history. Like, a lot of people don't even know that basketball is created in Massachusetts. So it's like y'all already rich. And then, you know, I believe wasn't I think college football and baseball is created in Massachusetts.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. So y'all,
I think Harvard.
Yeah, Harvard. It was Harvard, and I think Rutgers. I forgot. Because I went to school for sports administration, so I'm like a geek when it comes to that. But, you know, with me, I don't like no team from Boston except for the Red Sox, because I do not like the Yankees.
You know, what's funny is my first words were Yankees suck, so.
Yeah, I don't like the Yankees. Like, having New Yorkers that come down here, like, I growing up, I went to school with a lot of, not a lot, but it was like, there was probably like, 30% of them was from New York or had family from New York. And, you know, of course, you know, Matt, like people from Boston, like other places like up north is different from people from New York. Like New York, they just got this arrogance, you know, and they get on my nerves. And when the Marlins was playing the Yankees in 03, I was in sixth grade. And I remember, like, when we beat them, like, I was, like, selling out. And I had worn my Marlins T-shirt. And I was like, yeah. Like, how y'all gonna let a small team, you know, y'all pay all these players millions of dollars and y'all lose to a farm team? So, and then, like, every year I got to hear about the Yankees this, Yankees that. Like, it's ridiculous. But to get back into your music, your creativity when it comes to your songs and your albums, how's your process, like, as far as, like, you know, creating a project?
It's a club hit, or like I want it to be the weed song, and like you just end up pushing yourself in like this box, and you don't realize that like it's music, it's art. Like, there's no parameters ever. So like, why am I worried about what it's going to be? So that was a big thing. Also, a big thing with this, I'll be honest, is Creekwater.
Mm-hmm.
And and marijuana. Those are big components in my process.
Okay. So, Nah, ain't nothing wrong with that. Everybody got their different, you know, they vibe.
It's a lot of listening to, a big thing for me is like listening to artists that not I want to sound like, but ones that I can get on board with, like their cadences and the way that they flow and different, like if they have a unique flow pattern, I'm all over listening to that album or that artist, you know, front to back and studying, because I'll sit there and study YouTube videos and albums. And I don't listen to, you know, beats. I'm listening to see what did they choose to do with this rhythm, or what did they pick with this beat pattern, with the way they put their words. And then I'd put that into my own variants. And I'll tell you, Yellow Wolf and Caskey, those two people have been a huge inspiration for the past probably 20 songs I put out.
Damn, I ain't heard Yellow Wolf in a long time.
Yeah. He dropped an album, Caskey, man. Caskey got signed by Birdman when he was like 18, 17. Mm-hmm. And Caskey now is he just dropped an album. He's finally blown into like a millions of views kind of spectrum, where he's finally getting his traction he deserves. And he did an album where it was a full project with Yellow Wolf, and it's every song has them, you know, back and forth on verses. And that album, it's called Black Sheep. That thing inspired me to no end, to just make like the most creative, you know, different kind of sounding music.
Yeah, man, that's like I said, that's different. And the main reason why I wanted to know your process is because do you have a lot of influence from Ricky and Morty because of your artist name?
As we speak right now, so Rick and Morty, as you saw the Among the Cosmos album, I had my buddy Home Valor, aka DJ Marinara Jones. He made my album art, and I told him I literally wanted it to be me inside of the scene of Rick and Morty, basically. So he drew me inside of the spaceship flying. It even has my actual Gucci chain with my Snorlax pendant on it. So it's funny you said that, because as you speak, today I went to Walmart and they had new Rick and Morty pajama pants. So I'm wearing a full Rick and Morty outfit, Rick and Morty jacket and pants at the moment. So absolutely. They're the weird space vibes, and like the fact that the whole album is based on space. And that's kind of what the Among the Cosmos was like, I wanted a perspective of like, what if someone was like living that kind of life? Like, oh, he's a space pirate, or, you know, just like a mercenary, but in space. And that was kind of the vibe I picked with all the beats and all the way I carried the bars.
Yeah, man. Cause I'm like, from your artist name to your to your latest album, like, I can see a lot of Rick and Morty like influence, you know. And I like to ask artists all the time, because it's just so unique. Like I said, your sound is unique. Just like Logic sound was, you know, was very unique. And this is another question I want to ask you too. Is it kind of like hard to have a unique sound, especially in this day and age where, you know, it's pretty cool to have an artist that sound like 20 other artists? Like, is it like very hard as an artist to have that unique sound?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because like it always be the critique of the music from like the local fans and like the DJs when I'd get an interview here and there, it'd always be like the, you know, I liked it, but like, you should have just had more 808s, or you should have just, you know, sung more in that chorus, or like, you know, you should be, you know, you should have just talked more about like the city, or like they just want this generic, you know, heavy punch and beat with a drug reference, or, you know, talking about some butts. And I think it's too funny to me, because it's so, you could ask any artist and they may not tell you the truth if they're signed, but the whole top 40, you know, like only making those hits kind of artist, is he's not happy. There's no way he's enjoying it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you gotta make stuff. The reason my stuff sounds unique is because I make the songs I want to put out. It's not anything that like, oh, the label suggested, or like, you know, I want to make this because it's going to be a radio song. Like, I just make songs because it came out, and that's how it came out.
I'm glad you said that, because for me, I don't like that artists sound too much the same. And when we was younger, you know, I bring this up all the time. I know some people be tired of me saying this, but I say this because, you know, I want artists to really put this in their head. Be unique. You know, back in our day, we sound old as hell, but back in our day, you know, we had Eminem. We knew Eminem was from what? Detroit. Jay-Z. Yep. We knew he was from New York. You know, Ludacris, Trick Daddy. You knew they was from the South. They was from Atlanta. They was from Miami. Dr. Dre, The Game, Ice Cube. You know, you knew they was from L.A. You know, like, I can say probably after 2010, that's when, well, not I don't want to say 2010, I want to say maybe 2015, 16. I feel like that's when music changed. I don't want to necessarily feel like the bad, but it just changed in terms of, like, you got to do a song because that sound is trendy, you know? And I don't like that. You know, I don't.
No.
It's too boring, and sometimes, like, I miss DJing, but I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, I couldn't DJ in this era because I would literally, like, be bored playing the songs because majority of the songs, they sound the same, and you had a great point, and I agree with you. I feel like a lot of these artists that's in the top 40, 95% of them is not happy because they're getting controlled by the labels or whoever. Telling them, like, hey, you should do this because of this. Like, nah, man, you should be able, you're an artist for a reason. You make the song because it comes from you. You know, you make your sound, not nobody else but you. You know, you had a producer, if you have a producer and engineer and you had a relationship with them, they should know, like, hey, this ain't you. Do you, you know, but that's the problem with music nowadays. Like, people just worry too much about the money, and, like, we all want to get paid, but it's too watered down.
It's like a cookie cutter machine. You know, it's almost when Migos blew up.
Mm-hmm.
That to me was like watching the Bando documentary and you know, seeing how Atlanta really was through their eyes.
Right.
And I think that music in that moment when they really blew up, and then after, what was it, a year or two after they blew up and did the regular version of Versace, and then Drake got on it, the sound of music suddenly became like, hey, let's sound like Migos does. Mm. And then let's sound like this artist. It's like, that's exactly what happened. Was like, I could tell you, you know, I won't say names because I'm not that guy to throw shade, but in Fort Myers, if I got on YouTube and typed in, you know, 239 or Fort Myers hip hop and started looking, almost every artist has the same song, man. You mm-hmm. know, the same video. It's just a guy with the gun, with the you know, the grill in the talk about, you know, I get it. That's the lifestyle and that's what you're living. I get it. But, you know, they carry it the same way, with the same kind of beat, with the same flow. And it's like, just switch it up, be yourself. And I'm sure, you know, they don't realize there's a way to do that. You know, just say the slang words that you use only amongst your friends, you know, or, you know, whatever thing you say on the regular. If you got a silly little catchphrase or something you think's funny, you say, you know, just put that in your music. Or, mm-hmm. you know, they don't think, I guess, to that degree. And that could be part of the problem and why so many people sound the same everywhere. You know, there's just, it's like you said, it's so watered down at this point that a unique sound almost is crucial if you want to make it back into a market like this.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, for me, and this is a proud Southerner, because at one point we wasn't looked at, we was looked over. And, you know, for me, you know, I'm proud that, you know, the South, you know, we've been running music for a long time, but at the same time, it's like, I don't want a New York rapper to sound like from down here. I want him to sound like he's from up there. I like to listen to what a New York, you know, artist, you know, have in their mind, what's going on in their neighborhood and stuff, and, you know, that you know, just that mindset, like, what's going on. You know, I don't want artist from the South that sound like he's from the West Coast and gang bang. Nah, man. I want you to talk about, you know, what's going on in your neighborhood, you know, how it is, it's so hard down here to come up, because it's still hard to come up. As mainstream as Southern hip hop is becoming, we still don't have the amount of artists that should be, you know, well known, because we still don't have, I mean, Atlanta is starting to have more and more resources, but you know, that's one city, you know, because even though I talk about New York, you know, you still had Philadelphia, you still had, you know, certain cities, you know, up north, and same thing with L.A. The West Coast, you go to L.A., you know, you could go to the Bay Area and stuff like that. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I'm just tired of hearing people from I just miss the times when people used to sound like where they from in music. Of course, when you hear the interviews, when I hear the interviews, I'm like, all right, yeah, he from New York, he from Miami, he from Fort Myers, he from Atlanta, he from Detroit, he from Chicago, L.A. But when I hear the music, man, you from Chicago, you sound like you from Atlanta. That don't make no sense, you know?
No.
And it's just like, I don't like it, man. Like I said, like, I've been taking breaks from music here and there because it's like, it's not that many artists that, you know, that give me that, hey, they dropping a new single or they about to drop a new album or mixtape. I don't have that feeling from these new artists, you know, like Kendrick about to drop this Friday. I'm waiting for that. You know, like, it's crazy. That's, man,
I got a couple of artists that I keep on my radar. Like I said, Kasky, it was April 29th, he just dropped his album, and it's wild. It was really good, worth the wait. There's one other artist, Cal Scrubby. I've been listening to him. He's independent as far as I know. He might have got signed recently, but that guy, I just keep on checking for him to drop an album because he's one of those artists that, again, he's so unique. And just he even talks about that in the beginning, you know, he has features with Chris Brown and he got some big, you know, Redman. And in that point in his career, he was just that buzz, you know, that like swooped hair, short haircut, big chain on white boy who had like the bars about bitches and you know, selling drugs or doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And he stepped from being the generic guy and now put his own twist on it. He grew his hair long. He dresses like himself, talks, you know, the way he wants. And the music to me is better. And he's getting more notoriety at this point because he found himself. So I think that's...
Who are you talking about again? I'm sorry.
Cal Scrubby.
Where he from?
Yeah. Cal Scrubby, good God. I think he's from... I don't actually know where he's from. That's the one thing I don't know about.
but that's another thing too. Like artists like yourself, and I said this a lot. If you was in a different era, let's say 2010s, I believe you would have been blew up because at least in that time, like early 2010s, they appreciate unique sounds. So it's like if it was like pre-2015, by me listening to your music, you would have been blew up. If your latest album, Among the Cosmos, dropped in 2012, I guarantee you would have blew up, dog. Because it's, like I said, it's like, and I don't even blame the artists either. Like I don't just blame them, but I also blame the consumers. Like,
yeah.
People are being dumbed down. Like they being like watered down. I don't know if it's because we got so many free access to music. Not free, but you get what I'm saying. Like we have easy access to music now. Remember our generation, we the last generation who witnessed, you know, cassettes at one point, but then we had CDs. So we had appreciation. So it's like, I don't know if it's because of that. And then, like, there's so many music coming out. And then we just rushing, you know, them, you know, it's a microwave era where, you know, I don't hear many people saying, oh, I'm listening to, I don't know, a Jack Harlow album 3 times out the week, or even a Future album. Like, it's crazy how times changed, like, from 10 years ago, you know, so, man.
No, you're exactly right. Like, with, I was just checking out on YouTube, like, Jack Harlow's, just his audio YouTube files that he posted for the new album. And, like, it's the traction that certain people can get, you know, off of music is just mind blowing. Like, I think his one video, like, the First Class video, he just dropped it. And that thing's got, like, 10 million views in 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, like, you know, thinking as a normal person, it's like, either there's no way 10 million people individually sat through this whole video, or they did and it's once, and that's what happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were so hyped and it was so promoted well that, like, a bunch of people looked at it once. And like you said, the attention span,
mm-hmm.
they're like, oh, okay, I saw it. And then they throw it aside because it was a click. They clicked the link and they got to see it while they were sitting, wherever they were sitting. And they never held a physical thing or waited in line or, you know, pre-ordered a CD and it came with a t-shirt. And you know, holding that physical item and, like, being excited because that artist took all that time and then they invested in paying for these CDs and they pressed them up. You know, it's changed so drastically that
mm-hmm.
I think it has lost a bit of the quality. And like you said, when it's kind of like me working in retail as a manager, I look at it like this, you know, if I carry 50 different choices for one product, people are not going to buy that product as much as if I had 4 options.
Right.
And it's because people get overwhelmed. Like, they just do. It's a normal human thing. So when you see millions of artists available on YouTube or TikTok or Spotify, you don't know who to listen to at that point. You're like, I don't know who's good. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky. Like, it's sad because it's like, me, I love music, you know, but it's just like, I can't listen. I'm not going to say I can't, but, you know, I should be the person that, like, if one artist is about to drop, you know, like Kendrick, I'm listening to all his albums and his singles and stuff. It's like, I can't do that with most artists, you know. Don't get me wrong, with some artists in this era, That's like really good, and I can, you know, listen to them and stuff. But even then, it's like, you always dropping. You I don't know, man. It's like I said, it's too much, and it's like, the more these artists, like, all right, for example, DMX probably was the only artist from the 90s who dropped 2 albums in 1 year. In them days, that was like, you did that, you was the GOAT. Because it's like, most albums in that time, you drop an album in 93, that could last you till about 96, until you about to drop another album. But what DMX did was so smart was that he dropped 2 albums, and he really didn't have to drop another album until probably like, what, 2002, 2003, even though he dropped some more. But, like, it's like, where is that? You know, like, we need to bring that back. I don't know if artists need to somehow, some way, be like, hey, we got to slow down the product, or I don't know. Like, what do you think? Because you're an active artist, you know. Like, what do you think?
I think that if they took the time, and it would have to be on a major scale where, like, labels came to an agreement as a whole, not just independently or something, you know, and all the main top 40 people and everybody, they had this, like, a schedule that wasn't like, hey, we need to put out an album, and then we need to put out, you know, 7. What happened to one single? I thought a single was a single. People are like putting out 7 or 8 songs of their album before the album comes out, And then they're like, here we go. This is the whole album's been revealed, and it slowly gets revealed because they feel like they have to put content out constantly. And I feel like if they just went for like, let's put a music video out for the biggest song on the album, and artists just dropped that song, and then they pushed that, and then they put merchandise, and, you know, memes start floating around about that song's hook, and interviews come from that, and then where did that song come from? And that artist could take, like you said, you could drop an album and make a couple of years living off of that. You could take one song as an artist, especially when you have following, and take that and run with it to do, you know, promos, merch, interviews, a video, and they could push that almost as long as they wanted to. And instead, they feel this fire to drop a song after song after song after song just so they can rack up. And I feel like it's a greed thing. They just want to rack up as much money as they can, so they do so.
Man, something got to change, but
Well, let's change it, buddy.
Huh?
I said, then let's change it.
Yeah, no. Hey, you doing your thing? I'm doing mine. Like, that's people. You know, I'm trying not to make it about myself because, you know, this is. I tell the guests all the time, this is your time to shine. But, you know, I have to say this. Because I don't know if I said it in past episodes, but this is one of the reasons why I created this platform, is because, you know, one of the main problems also too in the music today is that the media ain't the media like it used to back in the day. And they gotta understand that, you know, they gatekeepers too as well. And for me, you know, of course I want to have a big name on my podcast one day, you know, just to say, not just to say I have them, but also like build that relationship with them, just like with everybody else. But I'm like, you know, I get more pleasure from getting an artist that's up and coming or that's well known, but underground, and they trying to, you know, create a, you know, more buzz, and they want, you know, like, it's, to me, it's more genuine, it's more unique. And the fact that, you know, it's a new sound, so a listener could listen and be like, "Oh, let me check him out. Let me see what he talking about." Cause he sound like he. Cause people understand when you when artists, you know, when y'all have interviews and stuff, and people listen to y'all, they really want to check out y'all music just based off y'all personality. So. It's like, for me, that was one of the reasons why I want to create this platform, is because I want to have as much artists as possible that deserve it, that don't get that shine, that's very talented, to come on so they could, you know, they could be able to get a couple more listeners, a couple more fans, because that's all it takes. Because one or two or three or four of 10 people, them 10 people, that could multiply to 20, to 40, to 60. Like, and then you get what I'm saying? Like, and it start growing as a cult. So it's like, I'm, man, like this right here, to me, is bigger than me just DJing. It's me bringing an artist and letting people know, like, hey, you know, y'all need to listen to him. Y'all need to keep him on y'all playlist. You know, so.
Well, on that note, that's super, super real, my man. And I appreciate you for having me on the platform, because, again, like you said, there's definitely a fire with the up and coming artists versus the, you know, you interview Drake and it's going to be legendary and you're going to get, you know, millions of views on that one episode. But you talking to Drake, and I bet you get at least half of it's going to be the interview that you've heard five times from him, because he's going to have these generic answers in his head because he's done a million interviews and he's like over it and it's happened already. And he has nothing new because it's just song, 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 write, write, show, 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 interview, interview. Like, he does nothing else but that at this point. So I think it's definitely more interesting to talk to people and get to know somebody that everybody has no idea. And like, when you listen to your favorite artists, like for Logic, for example, Under Pressure, you know, there's nothing else that would take me back to realize that like Logic is a monster then listening to that first studio album where he knew that this is the moment he had to push everything into it. And he was super hungry, mm-hmm. and you could hear it in his voice. Like, that's the thing that makes, you know, those first projects and that upcoming grind, it sounds so good because they want it all. And, you know, right. you feel that fire. And that's exactly where I'm still at. You know, I'm 29, I'm going to be 30 in June. And I've never gotten huge, you know, motivational recognition to be like, wow, I made it. You know, mm-hmm. it's not like a, and I don't think there is a moment, even like people like Jack Harlow or Drake, you know, they still feel like at certain points that they're like, yeah, I made it, but like, how much more can I do? And I think that's what I always will have. It's like, even if I made it big, offered deals, whatever the case may be, a tour, I'm not going to switch up and be like, all right, here goes the facade. And now I don't write my own music. You know, it'll still be Abraham, no matter which side of the field I'm on. So that's why I love this music, because it just connects so many people.
Mm-hmm.
So cool for that.
Yeah, you love it. You have a passion for it. That's when you're going to see all the blessings and all everything that you ask for. So I have a couple questions left for the podcast. Where do you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
I'd say 5 to 10 years from now. I mean, musically and life-wise, I want to be really successful. Mm-hmm. I really don't have a plan. People look at me crazy because I work a 9-to-5 at a pool store, and I would hope one day that I could own it. If not, mm-hmm. start my own business. But at the end of the day, I hope it's just that I'm going to put slowly invest into this music, because I spent too many years not putting money into marketing and not worrying about, you know, investing in myself because I thought it was foolish, or I don't want to lose money. But I realized that if I do it now, and it doesn't matter that I'm 29 or if I was 25, because of the social media platform, I think that, you know, I'm going to spend the next few years definitely just boosting up all my social medias, putting money into marketing a little bit more year to year,
mm-hmm.
until I can grow that clout and like you said, that cult following, mm-hmm. to where, you know, I want to have, you know, just on my release radar, you know, you get 100,000 views right away because there's 200,000 that follow you, you know, and that's kind of where I hope to see myself 5 to 10 years, is just, I don't think that the fire is going to go out for music, because I've tried a couple of times where, you know, the kids stuff and being homeless, and, you know, falling out and losing money and all those things, you know, losing your job and car. And when those things all happened, it was kind of like a point where I had a metaphorical microphone in my hand, and I was like, I need to throw this thing in the garbage. Like, I'm wasting my life. And it didn't happen. Like, there was something in me that no matter what job I worked, and no matter how far away I got from it, and Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
himself, he said it on Joe Rogan's podcast. He said that, you know what? He said, it's weird that no matter what happens with your purpose, you know, and what you're supposed to do, you know, what you love to do, you can get as far away from that thing as you want to. But if you're supposed to be doing it, it's just going to draw you back to it somehow. And that's what happened with music, is like, I have to have a studio in my room, and I have to have a mic that I can just come home from work and be able to rap or sing or make a beat, because I don't care if it gets 1 view or 8 billion. I want to make a song because I know for a fact that somebody is happy that I put that song out. So,
man, hey, before I ask you this question, you know, don't forget about your boy. I tell everybody this, you know, I'm here, and I'm glad you brought up Joe Rogan, because that's somebody, it's going to be very hard, but that's somebody who I look up to as far as like the podcasting. You know, I look up to everybody, you know, like everybody else, like Joe Budden, a few other people, but Joe Rogan, because of his work ethic, that's somebody who I'm chasing. You know, we all chasing somebody. You know, we may not say it publicly, or we might not say it all the time, but it's someone that, you know, like, he's the GOAT, and I'm like, you know what, I'm finna be the GOAT too. You know, like, I'm going to one day surpass him. You know, like, that's one of my goals. You know, it took me what, 2 years? No. Started podcasting 4 years, about to be five. It took me 3 years. Because, you know, when I first started doing podcasting, I did it for fun. Then I'm like, you know, I really love this. You know, and it helped me meet new people, network. And I started looking at, when I first got like my, I guess like my big, not a big break, but I guess when I first got ranked, I think it was, I forgot what country it was. It was a small country over the out east and overseas, and I was like 49th out of 200 people, out of 200 podcasts. I think it was in the business sector. And I'm like, you know what? This ain't gonna be forever, but I wanna keep going. Of course, life happened, had a child, had to take care of my granddad, and he eventually passed and everything. I had grad school, so I couldn't really do much. But I told myself recently, like, because I know you had that too. Like, you, it's just that one person that you want to just, you look up to so much, but you just want to, like, you want to be looked as one of the GOATs. You know what I'm saying? So
100%. There's, and I think there's nothing wrong with admitting that. So that's the big person of you. And definitely I have the same view, is that, you got to have a person that you chase, like you said, but at the same time, you should always want to better yourself at the end of the day. So if you don't have somebody that you're like, you know what, I could do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter if it was 5 years longer or 10 years after that person got their deal or made their 100 million followers or whichever happened. It doesn't matter, because there's never been a time frame. There's no guy on the other side. Even though it feels like in your head, I know you're a creative type, so you feel in your head you have this guy tapping his watch and like tapping his foot, looking at you at all times when you're like trying to make it in the industry, no matter what creative process, because you feel like I'm getting older and mm-hmm. the time's going by and it's going to be this before I know it and I'm going to be too tired. And you're like, you know what? There's no time frame. You could make it when you're 55 for all you know, and that's when you get money from this, you know, a huge income from what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And doesn't matter. I feel like as long as you're happy with what you're doing, and even if you're just making the minimum wage living off of your favorite thing in the world, what's better than that? You know what I'm saying?
No. Man, we gonna make it, dog.
You already know.
We gonna make it. And for the final question is, who's in your top five?
Top five. Oh, I was hoping there was something like this. Okay, so as we spoke on, Logic is going to be, I think, at the number one, just because of, again, he found me and heard my song that I did of his. Every time I was going through some kind of weird struggle in life, like, he happened to put out the project at the right time or the single at the right time that got me through stuff. So Logic's definitely number one with me. I definitely listen to a lot of underground. So again, I would have to put Cal Scrubby in my top five, because mm-hmm. his bars are outwitted. He can't be outwitted with his wordplay. It's pretty mm-hmm. pretty ridiculous. I definitely would put Yellow Wolf, even though a lot of people don't even listen to Yellow Wolf anymore and don't realize that he's got a full rock band that he sings and makes mm-hmm. albums, and he has Yellow Wolf's rap projects still come out. He's so versatile that's somebody that I look at, because I make songs, you know, that are rock or pop, and then I'll turn around and make a rap song. And then you have to put in, I would say, Russ is going to be in my top five. And despite his arrogance and the way he carries himself off the mic, his ability from producing, mixing, mastering, engineering every bit of it himself, I really respect that hustle. And I think that Russ would be probably the person that would be my one I want to catch, because I think that, you know, when he dropped that song Exposed and just threw the lyrics over top of the whole video, just saying like, labels are fake, they keep lying, like they sign people before they actually like tell you, and then they back them and they act like they're indie. And he said, no, I did this by myself. I sell my tickets myself. Mm-hmm. And that's why fans of my shows. So that's gotta be my top. And honestly, as weird as it sounds, it's going to have to be Prof. Prof has been in my top five, which I don't know if you know who Prof is. He just dropped a single. He's a very strange man. He just dropped a single with Kevin Gates, actually, maybe a week ago.
I'm probably going to see it on my, how Spotify do the trending. I'm probably going to see it because I listen to a lot of Kevin Gates. So I'll probably see it.
Prof, so Prof, and he's just this tall, skinny white guy with a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Real strange man. He has this high-pitched kind of voice, and he makes this real strange music, and that's somebody that I'm mind-blown at the way he's carried himself. He has a video where he dresses up as Mr. Rogers, and the song's just out of this world good, and it's great. Very inspiring when you see people on the come-up like that.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you brought up Russ, too, because I hear a little bit of Russ, too. Russ, he's an artist that I just started listening to maybe about 3 years ago, like faithfully. And I might want to go see him because he's supposed to be coming down here in Miami in the summer.
Ooh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Let me know.
I was telling my wife that I was like, I want to go see Russ. Because Russ, he's one of them unique sounds right now. You know, got Kendrick, of course. You got Russ. It's just like from like my ear, like, and I'm talking about just mainstream. Like, you have Smoke. I don't know if you heard of Smoke Dizzle from New York. I think he's from Harlem somewhere. He don't even sound like he don't sound like he's from. To me, I thought he was from like the South somewhere, but his sound is so unique because him and Currency, they be doing music together. And, like, that's like, when I said this earlier, you know, I don't want people to think that, you know, I don't necessarily want an artist to sound like he's from this place or that place. No, it's a difference between trying to be like someone from another place and then just have, you just have it. Like a Smoke Dizzle, he's one of the few artists that, like, you can't really, you know where he from, but you can't really pinpoint where he from. Like J. Cole from North Carolina, but it's like you can't really pinpoint where he really from. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's different than from just trying to be like someone from another city, another state or country and stuff like that, you know. So, but
that's like Logic being from Maryland. Like, who would have thought?
Yeah, from Maryland. Like, and he not from Baltimore, right? He's from another small town.
He's from I think it's called Gaithersburg.
You
gotta think.
No, what he's about to say, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, it's the same thing. You know, like, I'm from Woburn, and I rep Fort Myers all day, but, like, when I tell people from Woburn, Massachusetts, like, where is that? Like, I know Massachusetts, where's Woburn? Like, it's just a small little city, like, 15 minutes out of Boston, so no one knows where I'm from when I tell them.
Yeah, like, you know, and that's another thing, you know, I'm glad that you rep Fort Myers, because I will say this. One thing about our generation and this generation, like this new generation, when we rap where we from, we rap where we from. That's one thing I would say that I love, because it's a lot of artists from small cities that just are small towns and they rap where they from. You know, back in the day, artists from Fort Myers. Of course, Plies, he rep Fort Myers, but I'm saying, like, I've seen it before. A regular old artist from Fort Myers, he'll say, no, I'm from Tampa, you know?
Right.
So, same thing, like, way back in the day before Broward was huge, a Broward artist would say, no, I'm from Miami. Nah, bro, just be proud where you come from, you know? So.
Yep. There's been a few of them, definitely in Fort Myers, that one of them made it a little bit bigger, and he, the whole time on every profile and when he's at shows or in interviews, is like, where are you from? He's like, yeah, I'm from Miami. I'm originally from somewhere else. And like, he was from our city. So mm-hmm. I was like, man, you just don't want to put the small city on the map, because I guess, you know, when you're from a big city, if you tell people that, they think it carries a little bit more presence, you know, behind them or something. But that's wild to me. At that point, you're just, you know, I guess fake it till you make it kind of vibe, but I could never be disauthentic. It's just not who I am.
Yeah. I don't like that. Like, I like, you know, people who say like, oh, like even cities within cities, towns with towns, like, you know, I'm from Atlanta, but I'm really from the west side. Like, they being very detailed because they want to know what neighborhood they from. Cause that's where you started from. That's what neighborhood you started from, you know. But yeah, man, that's the one thing I would say that, you know, most artists have, you know, as far as like Denzel Curry. Yeah, he's from Miami, but he let people know that, hey, I'm from Kara City, you know. So, but yeah, man. You have any shout outs before we close off the podcast? And recognitions?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, go hit up all my social medias. The album Among the Cosmos is out. I also have dropped 2 new singles since then. So it's Honest Abe Lincoln. That's Honest Abe Lincoln. You can just Google me. You don't even have to take the time to look me up on each individual thing. You put me in Google, I'm on every single music platform that music is on.
Okay, man. And, you know, it's been a real challenge, you know, for us to do this episode, but it finally happened. And, you know, like I tell people that's been on the show, you are alumni, so whenever you want to do an episode, you got a project that's coming out soon, or just anything, or if I'm in Fort Myers somewhere or in the surrounding areas and you want to link up, you know, I'm there, you know, so, you know, just let me know.
Well, it's all love on this side too, buddy. So yeah, when you if you're in Fort Myers, just hit up. I got your phone number, so we'll just link up. That's for sure. I feel like that's got to happen in the future.
Yeah, got to. And thank you for coming on the show. You know, I know as a father, you know, as you know, you work your 9-to-5. You know, as an artist, as everything, like you took a lot of time away from that life to come on the show. So I really appreciate that again, you know. So,
yes, sir.
So
I'm glad I'm here.
No problem, man. We're gonna have another episode again. But this been your boy
DJ Anonymous.
DJ Anonymous with another episode of Sports Biz Music the Podcast with my boy Honest A. It's Abe Lincoln, right?
Yes, sir. Honest Abe Lincoln.
And we out. Peace.